Last September, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announced plans to annex Palestinian lands, promising to, quote, apply Israeli sovereignty to the Jordan Valley and the northern Dead Sea immediately if elected. While some speculated that that was just campaign talk, today Netanyahu's annexation plans, which have been condemned by the United Nations as a violation of international law, could be coming to fruition. If Netanyahu does follow through, thousands of Palestinians in the Jordan Valley and areas north of the Dead Sea could face displacement and effectively become stateless. Joining me now to talk about the consequences of annexation and U.S. public opinion on Israeli policies is Omar Barghouti, a Palestinian human rights defender and co-founder of the BDS movement based in the West Bank. And Shibli Telhami is a professor at the University of Maryland and senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Omar, Shibli, thanks for joining me.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Shibli, let's start with you. A brief explanation, if you will, of annexation and why it's on the table right now.
Well, first of all, Israel has been occupying the West Bank and Gaza since 1967 in that war. And obviously, annexation is illegal under international law, and the U.S. Also agreed with that up until the Trump administration. Annexation means essentially making the territory part of Israel. And applying Israeli sovereignty over that territory. So clearly there is international opposition to this all over the world. The difference here is that you have an administration in the United States, not only that supports annexation in violation of international law, but actually proposed it. You have a Trump plan for the Middle East that actually proposed significant annexation of the West Bank, almost 40% of the West Bank to be annexed by Israel. And obviously that has generated a huge storm internationally, but even domestically, and even within Israel itself, I would say up to a point. The reason for that is very, very straightforward. Up until now, you know, people have said the best solution for the conflict is a two-state solution. A lot of people have said it's died a long time ago, and I would say even more experts of the Middle East say that's true. But American political elites still believe this is the solution. And when you have annexation, it becomes impossible, and it forces U.S. elites to choose between Israel as a Jewish state and Israel as a democratic state, which obviously would become very problematic if you have a Palestinian majority. So that has really created a major crisis.
Omar, you are a co-founder of the BDS movement, which stands for Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions. And the movement is to end international support for Israel's influence in Palestine. Now, you live in the West Bank and Ramallah. What could annexation mean for Palestinians there?
As Professor Telhami said, annexation has been going on for decades, but it's been mostly informal, de facto annexation. What Israel is planning to do now is formal or de jure annexation, and both of them are equally illegal under international law. De jure annexation or formal annexation would basically, as you stated in the introduction, make thousands of Palestinians who live in the occupied territory of the West Bank that Israel plans to annex, it will make them stateless. It will make them non-citizens in the state of Israel. This, as dozens of UN experts have said, crystallizes a 21st century apartheid, quote unquote. Indeed, many international experts, many parliamentarians, more than 1,000 parliamentarians in Europe, have said that this annexation must be opposed very strongly because otherwise it undermines the international law system as it is, the law-based system as we know it since World War II. So Israel should not get away with this. Similar acts of annexation throughout history have been met with sanctions, except when it comes to Israel, nothing has been enforced. Palestinian civil society stood in a unified way and issued an appeal to the world saying, we cannot stop annexation, neither the ongoing decades-old de facto annexation, nor the coming, the looming de jure annexation alone. We need to cut the links of complicity and impunity that allow Israel to continue this theft of occupied Palestinian land and this apartheid system that has existed for so long.
Omar, let me ask you this. Like, what exactly is the BDS movement doing right now in the face of this potential annexation?
We launched a campaign to impose targeted, lawful sanctions against Israel, because we're against indiscriminate sanctions. So it specifically called for a ban on arms trade and military cooperation with Israel, suspension of trade and cooperation agreements with Israel, prohibition of Israel's illegal settlement products from entering any country, cutting U.S. military funding of Israel's regime of apartheid, and that's basically a very necessary demand because the U.S. is the main funder and defender of Israel's violations of Palestinian rights, and finally, resuscitating, reconstituting the U.N. Special Committee Against Apartheid to investigate Israel's apartheid. Since we launched this appeal, we had massive responses across the world, including from 7 former Latin American presidents, 2 South African presidents, hundreds of parliamentarians, political parties all over the world, in Europe and elsewhere. So that the response has been great, because I think most people realize if Israel gets away with this, it will enable other states that look at other territories that they do want to annex, it will enable them to do so and use Israel as an example.
Shibley, you mentioned that President Trump and his relationship with Netanyahu as part of the reason why this annexation is happening or potentially happening right now. I'm wondering, in your research at the University of Maryland, what have you found about how Americans feel more broadly about Israeli policies under President Trump?
Well, first of all, you know, there are actually a couple of questions, including about BDS, because we've been doing polling on this. So with regard to BDS, to stay with that subject, I've done a poll last October at the University of Maryland to see how much people know about it, because it's become an issue, particularly after the midterm election. And there's a debate even in the mainstream about it. And there are about a half of the American public who say they've heard a little about it. And of those who have heard about it, more people oppose it than support it in general. About half oppose it. But among Democrats, it flips. More Democrats support it than oppose it. And when you ask them, is this a legitimate movement or not, you find that overwhelmingly Democrats say it's an illegitimate movement. Overwhelmingly Republicans say it's not a legitimate movement. So that's just as a background on where even the partisan divide, even on BDS in the U.S. But with regard to the Trump plan, that too, by the way, most Americans haven't really followed this. I mean, we're focused on our immediate crisis, the pandemic, the racial issue. So what we found is really 70% of the public say they follow this very little, if at all.
Shibley, before we go back to the question of annexation, I want to ask you about COVID-19, which is a worldwide pandemic. Can you give us a sense of how the Israeli government has been handling the pandemic so far?
Early on, the Israeli government was lauded for doing a very good job in confronting it. They had relatively few cases. They were aggressive. Still, to this day, actually, Israel has a relatively low percentage of deaths. I think it's about 2%, as opposed to, you know, we're closer to 5% in much of Western Europe accordingly. And so in a way, they've almost declared victory. They started going back. And then suddenly there is a huge resurgence to where it's a major crisis, where health officials now warning that there could be a collapse in the hospital system if action is not taken soon. But one of the fascinating things, though, is the question of whether Netanyahu, who was in the middle of a crisis, personal crisis with the courts, as well as a political crisis in putting a coalition government together, whether he used the fear of coronavirus early on to propel this coalition government that was unlikely without that. And now you've got the return of the coronavirus and a coalition government that is dysfunctional.
Omar, COVID-19 in Palestine, what is the outlook there right now?
In the Palestinian occupied territory, the Palestinian Authority initially had a serious lockdown and was quite successful. But now we see that it's really getting out of control. Cases are increasing by the hundreds every day, and the Palestinian Authority seems to have lost control.
Shibley, what are we expecting to see in the coming weeks when it comes to annexation?
The pushback was incredibly huge, maybe more than Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, expected. There's a pushback not only from Europe and the U.S., and particularly unanimous opposition among Democrats at a time when Democrats appear to be poised to win back the White House, in 2020. Certainly from the Arab states with whom the Israelis have tried to get closer, particularly the Gulf Arab states, the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia, have been sending signals that this could be a problem that could set back the relations that they have built up. So it's unclear whether the prime minister will do so, whether there will be some kind of a domestic compromise, which obviously doesn't solve the problem, because from the international community's point of view, even an inch of annexation is annexation. They might split the difference. It wouldn't really change the name of the game. It might create a lot of different responses within Israel itself, but I doubt it would make it a big difference internationally. The looming problem, as I see it, is a possible crisis emerging with Iran. I don't know whether anyone is really interested in a confrontation, but there has been a series of mostly cyber attacks, but more recently apparently a bomb attack attributed to Israel, the New York Times reported yesterday. It could generate at least an attempted retaliation response. That could also change the game in many ways if there's an escalation. It'd make it even harder for the Israelis to actually impose annexation. I think chances are that the Prime Minister of Israel wants to announce some kind of annexation because his political base is expecting it, but it's a fluid situation.
Shibli Telhami is a professor at the University of Maryland and senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, and Omar Barghouti is a co-founder of the BDS movement based in the West Bank. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.